Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Psalms in the Morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and it's good to be back in the Psalms again. We are picking up where we left off when we last did a regular sort of progression through the Psalms was, I believe, the week before Thanksgiving week, and we were in Psalm 118, and then we did Unexpected Thanksgiving. We did a couple of different unexpected Thanksgiving psalms for Thanksgiving, and then we did, of course, Messiah's Advent with devotionals taken from the scripture texts that underlie Handel's Messiah, and now we're back in our regular progression through the Psalms, and I will admit to you that I was kind of putting this off because Psalm 119 is what is next, and it is the longest psalm in the Bible, 176 verses. It's longer than almost half the books of the Bible. So it's like a book-length psalm. And so I wasn't sure exactly how we would handle that in this morning devotional format. But by God's grace, we're going to do a three sort of overview devotional psalms. Today we're going to take an overview of Psalm 119 and sort of get the lay of the land. Next time we're going to take a look at God's law, as reflected in Psalm 119, and then on Friday, the gospel, as reflected in Psalm 119. Got my hot steaming cup of coffee and my Star Wars mug, and ready to go. Let's pray, and then we'll dig into God's Word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for waking us up this morning and giving us this time together. We pray that you bless our time and help us to grow in you through your word today. We need your help. We need your Holy Spirit. We need your grace to move in our hearts and to shape us through your word to be more like Jesus. We pray that our time together in your word would be beneficial to us and would bring glory to you as we reflect you better to the world around us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay. Let's just look at the first stanza of Psalm 119 together, shall we? Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. This is the Aleph stanza. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in keeping your statutes! Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. So this is the first of 22 stanzas that are each 8 verses long, and each stanza, you'll even notice in your English Bible, it'll give you the name of a Hebrew letter at the top of each stanza. And that is because Psalm 119, in addition to being the longest psalm in the Bible, and the longest chapter in the Bible, although I don't really like thinking of the Psalms as chapters, but it's technically the longest chapter in the Bible by far, is also an extended acrostic poem, in that there are 22 stanzas, and each stanza has 8 verses, and each line within those 8 verses begins with the Hebrew letter designated for that stanza, and then it goes through the Hebrew alphabet. So you'll notice if you read Psalm 119 all the way through, which I strongly encourage you to do, I may have made it sound intimidating by how long it is, but it's only about 15 to 17 minutes long. You could listen to it on an audio Bible. It's less than 20 minutes to read it. And so I would recommend that you read it through a couple of times this week as we're going to be spending time in it. You'll notice that certain patterns and certain themes repeat. But if you understand the structure of it, it's really amazing how well it coheres following this pattern, because that's not easy to do. I mean, if you were just to sit down and say, I'm going to write a poem about God's Word, and I'm going to start with 8 lines that all start with the letter A, and then I'm going to have 8 lines that all start with the letter B, And then I'm going to have 8 lines that all start with the letter C. That's not easy to do and have it flow and have it make sense. But that's what the psalmist does under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here in Psalm 119. As I said, it's the longest psalm, 176 verses. The second longest, which we've already looked at together, is Psalm 78, which has 72 verses. At 176 verses, by the way, it makes it longer than about 30 books of the Bible. Of course, books like 2nd and 3rd John and Jude and 2nd Peter, but also some Old Testament minor prophets like Obadiah. It's about the same length as the book of James or the book of Philippians. So it's a decent-sized psalm that's about book length. Not necessarily a super long book, but about book length. It is, as I said, an extended acrostic poem, and it's probably written by Ezra. Ezra the scribe, we read about him in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, which he also probably wrote. He was the leading priest, teacher of God's people after the return from exile with the rebuilding of the temple, the finishing of the rebuilding of the temple, and the instruction of God's people in the law was led by Ezra. In content, all of Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. It is a love song celebrating God's Word, but it is also a plea for growth in the Lord. So it's not just celebratory, although parts of it are. It is also pleading, wanting to grow in the Lord. The way Psalm 119 opens, we don't know for sure who wrote it. There's no author listed. But the way it opens gives us a clue that it was almost certainly written by the same psalmist who wrote Psalm 1 and Psalm 112. By the way, Psalms 111 and 112, if you weren't with us for those devotionals, those are also acrostic poems. Now, they're acrostic poems of one line or 2 lines per letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This is 8 lines, 8 verses. Actually, each verse has 2 lines. So 8 verses of each letter. So they're much longer. But 111 and 112 are acrostics. 119 is an acrostic. It makes sense that the same person probably wrote all 3 of those acrostic psalms. But also we see some thematic connections, especially in the opening of Psalm 1, 112, and 119, that makes us think that probably the same author wrote all 3. Of course, the author of all of Scripture is God, but we're talking about the human author whose style and whose approach is reflected in how God uses them to write His Word. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 112, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. And then Psalm 119, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. So the opening of these psalms tell us that there is a great blessing from God. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Blessed are those. Blessed are those. There is a great blessing from God for those who by faith love God's law and walk in God's ways as laid out in his law. There's some Christians who have a sort of anti-law attitude. You know, we're not saved by keeping the law, and we're not saved by keeping the law, although we are. We're just not saved by our own keeping of the law. We're saved by Jesus keeping the law for us, right? So Jesus is the ultimate blessed man, and so Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of Psalms 1, 112, and 119. But if we want to grow in Christ-likeness, right, what does it mean to grow spiritually? To grow spiritually means to grow to be more like Christ. And so if we want to grow in Christ-likeness, well, then we need to grow in loving the law and in walking according to the law of God. Especially we're talking about the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments, what God lays down as being the pattern for living for us. which Jesus summarized as loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. But the way it's spelled out in the Ten Commandments tells us how to do that. And so we are blessed in Christ because of his keeping of the law, his fulfilling of the law. That's our salvation. Our salvation is not found in our ability to be able to keep the law for ourselves. It's because Christ kept it for us. But we grow in being blessed, in being shaped in the likeness of Christ, as we grow in meditating on the law of God, delighting on the law of God, and keeping the law of God by God's grace and for his glory. And so this Psalm 119 has this same theme that was begun in Psalm 1, that was unpacked in Psalm 112, and now Psalm 119. And I think that what we have here is Ezra is the author of all of these. Ezra was probably the guy who compiled the Psalter, who compiled the Book of Psalms as we have it in five books, beginning primarily with David's Psalms and then moving on to other authors. But Ezra doesn't name himself anywhere because he's very humble. He's one of my favorite Old Testament people because he loved poetry, he loved acrostics, he loved God's Word, he taught God's Word. But we don't know that much about him because he very much doesn't name himself in anything that he writes. All right, God's Word in Psalm 119. So God's Word is the subject matter for Psalm 119. It is an extended love song of God's Word, a celebration of God's Word, and also a plea that God would change our hearts and teach us the content of his Word, and also change our hearts to enable us to be able to walk in his Word. It's a great thing for us to pray, to just read sections of it and pray it back to God. It's one of those wonderful psalms that is immediately appropriate as a prayer for us in almost any situation. There are eight different words that are used for God's Word in Psalm 119. And of the 176 verses in Psalm 119, 173 of them refer directly to God's Word using one or more of these. And very often you'll find two of these together in a verse. The first, most important, is Dabar. Dabar is a broad word that means God's word or God's promise. So this is not, generally speaking, of a word that God gives us telling us what he requires of us, but rather a word that God gives us telling us who he is, what he has done, what he is going to do. And so it's his word, it's his self-revelation. And so if it's telling us who he is or what he's already done, it's his word. If it's him telling us what he's going to do, it's his promise. But it is God's self-revelation. And what you'll find in Psalm 119 is that life and light and salvation are associated with this word, the promise. Give me life according to your promise. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The opening of your word gives light. Right? So this is the word debar. Then a second general word is saying or imra. This refers to the spoken word of God, that God speaks forth to his people. And these are the sayings. They're often associated with wisdom. Right, the wisdom sayings, the precepts. Well, precepts is a different word in here, but proverbial wisdom, like the proverbs, the sayings, the spoken word of God. The third word is shakim. Shakim are the statutes of God, and then mishpatim are the judgments of God. There are two sources of law. Even today, there are two sources of law. One is statutory law. And these are decrees. These are written, you know, the Ten Commandments is our summary of statutory law from God, but also other things that God says. And then judgments, also when a particular case is being tried by a judge, and a judge rules in that case, that now carries the force of law to apply to all similar kinds of cases. And these two sources of law are as old as law itself. If you go all the way back to the oldest written law code in the world, the Code of Hammurabi, 1790 BC, you'll find written law, statutory law, but you also find that Hammurabi decided cases and that his decisions on those cases became judgment, or what we call case law. We have the same thing today. Congress could pass laws, the Supreme Court can make decisions. Both are sources of law that are binding to the people under those jurisdictions. So these two words are used for God's statutes and for God's judgments. It's a reminder to us that he is the lawgiver, but he's also the judge. He's the one who gives us his law, and we're bound to follow it, but he's also the judge who decides rightly all the time. Then there's a word translated law, which is Torah, which probably refers most specifically to the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those first five books, the law of God. So when you read the law of God in Psalm 119, you shouldn't think exclusively about things that God tells us that we're obligated to do, but rather how God revealed himself in those first five books of the Bible, which would include the Exodus, salvation, the wilderness wandering, all of these promises and actions from God are contained in law as well. And then you have Mishpot, which is commands. And this is when, like a military general, gives commands, gives orders, and you follow them. Pikkudim is precepts. These are generally applicable, like proverbs, like principles, like wisdom, right? So we have two places where wisdom is reflected, Imrah and Pikkudim. God is the giver of wisdom. And then testimonies, Aduth, which is God as witness. So what do all eight of these do? All eight of these reflect to us different aspects of God's character. And so God's word is not one thing or one type of thing, right? I don't like it when people say, well, God's word is his operation manual for life. Well, no, it's not. It does have wisdom for living in books like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Psalms and the book of James and the Sermon on the Mount. But it's more than that. It's also God's promise. It's also God's commands. It's also God's statutes and his judgments. It's his precepts. It's his own testimony of who he is and what he's doing. So God reveals himself in such splendid, varied ways through his word. And Psalm 119 calls us to pay attention to all of it. You may have heard some people say, well, Psalm 119 is a celebration of God's law. And that's not really accurate. It's a celebration of God's word in all of its various manifestations, right? God's word is like a multifaceted jewel. And Psalm 119 is the psalmist turning the jewel around and observing the different facets and rejoicing in all of them and also longing to be more conformed to the word of God. Here's the second stanza of Psalm 119. We'll read this and then we'll pray. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Amen. What a great psalm Psalm 119 is. It shows us so much about the word of God and how we should be responding to it in faith, in obedience, in longing. Let's turn to God now in prayer together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Your word is a treasure. It is a gift beyond price. Most of us take it for granted. We think of it as the Bible and, oh, we should do our Bible reading. But this is an absolute treasure chest full of wisdom, instruction, correction, full of promise and prophecy, full of your own self-disclosure of your heart for us and your love for us. It is a wonderful treasure. Help us to treasure your word more, to meditate on it more, to delight in it more, to long for it more. We pray, O God. Father, this morning we want to pray for those we love who are suffering. We've become aware in the past several weeks and several days of a number of people we love and know who are suffering greatly. We think of Kate's father, who is in the hospital really struggling with COVID. He got put on a ventilator a couple of days ago. He's not doing well. He seems to make little bits of progress and then get worse. Oh, Father, we pray that you would be pleased to heal him and that you would give Kate peace and her family peace and strength. Father, we pray for full healing and we pray for your mercies for them. Father, we pray for little Renna who has cancer and this girl who's so brave and so joyful is battling a very serious and very advanced cancer. We pray that you would heal her and that you would restore her to life full and healthy, and just bless her family. Keep them through this time. Deepen their trust in you. Thank you that they do trust in you and that they are looking to you through this. Father, we pray for a young man in his 30s who's in the hospital, who's clinging to life for an unknown reason. He doesn't appear to have COVID, but his health took a very sudden decline, and now he's clinging to life in the hospital, and they don't know what the prognosis is. It doesn't look good. Father, we pray for healing for him. We pray for Holly, who has cancer. We pray for healing for her and strength as she goes through treatments. Father, we pray for all those who are struggling with COVID and those who are treating them. Would you have mercy? We pray for a speedy delivery of the vaccine and that it would be effective, Father, and that it would help to bring an end to this pandemic. In your mercy, Father. We don't deserve your mercy, but we ask for it. We plead for it, Father. We look to you in all things. Our hope is in you, and we love you and trust you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so on Wednesday, our plan is to be back in Psalm 119 as we look at the law of God, and then Friday, Psalm 119 and the gospel as seen in Psalm 119. Have a blessed day in the Lord.